My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes here with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins. We're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know, how about wrestling? If we don't break out into a Dodgers pitching discussion like we did at the end of last week's episode, we will talk a little bit about what's going on Raw. What's going on Dynamite. Obviously, we're going to get to our usual weekly block of TNA Impact. But Jeff Hawkins, all of my bros are on the show I don't watch no more.
Yeah.
What? All of my guys, CM Punk, Gunther, Drew McIntyre, not to mention Cody Rhodes.
Randy.
And you just got everyone, even Obafemi's every once in a while coming over to the show. You got everyone on SmackDown. You got not much on Raw when Roman Reigns decides to take a week off. Talk to me a little bit about the dichotomy between Raw and SmackDown and what you think about SmackDown this week. And then we're going to break down a quarter hour ratings discussion between the two shows. And then we're probably going to break down demographics between the two shows. And then we're going to figure out why the hell Danhausen, of all people, gets to be on both.
Yeah, and then we'll have a nice Sophie's Choice discussion on who I'm
Randy
rooting for
Orton's
this weekend.
On SmackDown. Kevin Owens is on SmackDown. Sami Zayn is on SmackDown.
The Brewers are in Los Angeles.
Ooh, that's a good one. You got Blake Snell coming back. Roki Sasaki somehow is still in the starting rotation.
My Bob Uecker jersey comes tomorrow, but I still have.
There you go. I mean, you got a lot to look forward to. You got the Cubs being no hit through 6 2/3.
God, yes. But yes, there was a similar. God, this feels like
SmackDown is the Dodgers right now.
Yes, and it feels like Vince is in charge again, because this is a total Vince move to put all the people that people like while you push the people that. Oh. Vince likes over. Why am I hitting my mic off? So, yes, it's just Oba and Brock's gone. We have the Vision, we have Roman and the Bloodline and LA Knight and Solo, and it's like okay.
Well, you talk about all the people that people like. I mean, Obafemi, people like him.
People do, but he's a monster, so he's the Raw type. The wrestlers that wrestling fans like are on SmackDown now. The promo guys, the guys who can do good matches other than, say, luchadors. It's just weird. It's an embarrassment of unbalancedness on SmackDown right now.
Which is a little weird because, I mean, I could have said 2 years ago when you had Seth Rollins and see, you still got Seth Rollins kind of on Raw, except he's...
Yeah.
Seth Rollins is getting a little bit of that where, go away for a bit, come back, go away for a bit. I wouldn't be shocked if in 2 years he's got the Roman Reigns schedule. Mm-hmm. If he's not just completely out of the business altogether. The only reason I think Seth Rollins is honestly still wrestling is because he only has to go 2 days a week now. Like, he's got your travel day, you got the show, and that's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, he wouldn't be looking the road.
No, he seems like that guy, and he'll be on some of the house shows, you know, when they do the house show tours, because now they're so few and far between. You know, you have him go into Europe every once in a while, and it just seems like, and maybe Becky might be this way too. It's just this guy has, he's got the football stuff. Football season is upon us. They have the newborn child. Like, you don't have much longer with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. But right now, those are two names that are on the Raw side that aren't there every single week. Now, Becky's back. You don't have Roman Reigns on the Raw side.
The kid's old enough to tour now and go on the road with them. So it might be one, but and not yet in school necessarily.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
it's one of those things where you might have, you might have a little bit more time with the child touring with the kid.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't do that. You can't really do that much during school.
No. Once in school, not. But like between the ages of like 4 and 6, sure.
Okay. Well, there you go. You maybe got two plus years of Seth Rollins really being a full timer. Not to mention, this is a guy that's got, you know, I mean, Randy Orton, look where he's at, where he has to take a year off every once in a while because of his back. And Seth Rollins probably doesn't want to get to that point, but he's on the trajectory where he will get to that point. At some point. So yeah, anyway, the point is Raw kind of right now is a little bit, they're in the lull period. Mm-hmm. And we talked about getting past SummerSlam so you can figure out what you're going to do. And it looks like what WWE is going to do is just go full on Bloodline on the Raw side. Just never ending Bloodline as your top angle, spread out, not just at the beginning and the end of the shows, but during the shows as well. It's what everyone else is chasing. No one's chasing the world title. They're effectively just chasing the Bloodline because it doesn't have to be Roman Reigns. Your top two babyfaces on the show, which you can say Obafemi may be the top babyface on the show just because of what he's done so far, but he's also still super new. I mean, this guy has been only on the shows for what now, 4 months? 4 months he's been on effectively Raw. Your top babyfaces, correct me if I'm wrong, outside of Roman Reigns, you can still consider Roman Reigns the top babyface if you want to, but the Bloodline is a heel group. Your top babyfaces right now are LA Knight and then number two, Solo Sikoa?
Penta.
Maybe Penta, but Penta ain't getting up in that ratings mix. He ain't getting up in that world title mix right now. He probably is getting in the world title mix on September 14th, but it's a one and done. You think also, Penta's winning the world title in Mexico City?
I don't know if Solo's going to be a babyface after next week.
Maybe not.
You know, so it's one of those things. But I mean, like, then you turn to SmackDown and, you know, you get that Kevin Owens Punk promo, and that thing was fantastic. I mean,
SmackDown, I'm going to have to do something here because, as we all know, as everyone knows, I don't watch SmackDown. I watch clips.
Yes.
Okay. Because one, Friday night, come on now. I think the days of having this on Friday night need to end soon. But I'm not watching the show. I'm watching the clip. So I kind of see, sometimes I even see more than Raw of what's really truly going on and what are the big top focuses. You have Kevin Owens, CM Punk. This kind of goes in line a little bit with Obafemi, Bron Breakker. You got some main event level storylines here, and not WWE main event, the TV show, but like you got names where 6 months ago, these guys were as hot as all get out. Bron Breakker, like Obafemi, Bron Breakker could be a top program on the show. And this is a transition program right now.
It's a bad program too, because it's all about the future of the WWE. It's more corporate fieldy crap.
It's not even all about that. It's like Bron wanting to impress daddy.
Yes.
He wants to get his dad back. Yes. Like his dad decided to abandon him. And like, why would you abandon me and just leave my family here all by myself? And I got to be the big brother and support everyone. But my fucking little brother here got a new girlfriend. Now he's loud as fuck. And I'm here supporting the family. And dad's right. Dad's watching the family struggle and being involved. No,
Paul, you said you were going out for cigarettes and milk and you never came home. Yeah.
Because daddy owes his bookie and doesn't want to disrupt his bookie, Obafemi, over here. Lost his bet, lost all his money, Brock Lesnar. And now he's just, I have a question for you. I said we were going to start on SmackDown. This is effectively our start.
I know.
Just talking all things Raw. Why is Paul Heyman in storyline? Like if this were real, Mm-hmm. Why is Paul Heyman showing up to Raw?
That's actually the best question anybody's asked is, hey, you have nobody to manage right now. Why are you here? What are you here? Doing?
Are you scouting for your next protege? Because you can do that on TV. Like, what do you actually do? If your manager card is licensed to Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar retired, like, why the fuck are you still here?
It's
like,
Go ahead.
If this were the Miami Marlins and Scott mm-hmm. Boras had no players on the Marlins and he was just showing up to Marlins camp, like, what are you doing here, Scott?
Well, remember, Brock retired, but he still wrestles. So he might show up one day.
No.
That's what Paul said. He said that. It wasn't me.
But he still wrestles. He's wrestling with what exactly?
Shadows. He's wrestling with shadows.
God, I hope not, because that didn't go well for the last guy.
God, no, you're exactly. And there are fools out here saying that we need to turn Obafemi heel. I'm like, we have no baby faces right now. This is such a heel friggin' roster right now on the Raw end, with LA Knight being your lone white knight. Maybe Seth is around, but Seth hasn't appeared since he got his ass beat. So
everyone I wanted to see Roman wrestle, okay, is either Seth Rollins, who already just wrestled him, or on the SmackDown side now. So if you're going to have all these names on Raw, maybe it's time to pull the trigger with an LA Knight win and then see, because I'm, you know, the bloodline already is a disaster, and not a disaster in the way of, oh, nothing is working. Right. Because I think in certain ways, some of this could work. It's like they started the fucking new bloodline as a triad. It was Jimmy, Jay, and Roman being on the same page, being equals. But it has not, since that promo, been that way. It has been Roman Reigns leading the charge, and Jay Uso literally moving himself into the back seat, moving himself into the second seat. There's no more main event Jay Uso, right? There's no more him calling himself main event Jay Uso. He's trying new catchphrases. They're downplaying. Well, Raw was weird because they're downplaying, but then they're not downplaying the Yeet entrance. Like, every once in a while, he just does it. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he does it. Like, what are we doing here? And maybe it's time to transition and do the true Jay versus Roman, or maybe even a Jimmy versus Roman. Maybe everyone versus Roman. Maybe the angle here should be, okay, LA Knight's your champion. Go against a Braun Breaker or another type of heel. And then the bloodline infighting is one of your other main storylines, where everyone's just coming after Roman until eventually Roman's all alone. Truly, no more, oh, maybe he's got a bloodline. Maybe he's got a family. Maybe there's a new family involved. Maybe he's trying to pick pieces back together again. And then Roman Reigns truly is the lone wolf again, going on, moving forward as a huge ass baby face because his family abandoned him. I don't know. I'm not trying to fantasy book anything. I'm not saying this is what they should do. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is maybe it's time for something else on top, because Roman's not always there to be on top. And when he's not, it is a struggle, as evidenced by Monday.
I actually think you have something there, but what I would do is I would not put Jay in the backseat. I would actually do what they said they were going to do. Everybody's an equal, because they've already started taking the good guy pieces off the board. They took out Royce Keyes. Seth is gone. We're doing this thing now, which we always say they never do with stables, which is, you're here to take over. Let's take over. So let's have the bloodline just take over the entire damn show, for the most part, as equals, until that greater force, possibly with Obafemi and Brock in tow, takes out the bloodline, and then the infighting can begin with the bloodline.
Yeah, but the problem with trying to do this as equals is one of them's your world champion.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if you're Jey Uso and you're the equal of Roman Reigns, why aren't you getting title matches? Why aren't you building towards that? But no, you're just trying to protect your boss. You're not trying to protect an equal. You're trying to protect, you know, the guy who's stopping you from truly being an equal.
Yeah, they're trying to play the horseman thing without doing the horseman thing, where it's, oh, the world title is in the stable, so we're all going to protect the world title type thing.
We're
and instead,
all,
it's a,
we're
it's
all
a hierarchy.
The world champions.
Yeah, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but at least at least then, okay, maybe it made sense, you know, that short period of time where the Usos might be going for the tag titles. Mm-hmm. You know, they really, you know, if they wanted to do what AEW does and just have like 15 different singles titles so that you can all have a different singles title and pretend it's as important as the world championship. But yeah, right now, whatever it is, and the summer is ending soon. Like, there won't be the excuse of the summer lull because football season's coming back. The summer's ending soon. You're going to have some 7 p.m. Netflix Raws coming up here, and you're going to need something for that first hour, okay? You're going to need something for that first hour, and L.A. Knight complaining to the GM backstage, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to cut it doing it for 2-3 more months because that's all he's done for the last year.
Oh, are we getting 7 o'clock Raws to avoid Monday Night Football?
That's what they did. I'm not saying they've already announced some of these. It's what they did for Monday Night Football last year. Every once in a while, they have the 7 o'clock Raw on the East Coast. Like, if Raw is going to be in Cleveland, why not start it at 7 o'clock versus 8? 7 o'clock is a good time to do a TV show, to do an arena event. That's when baseball starts. Some baseball games start at 6:40. So I'm sure we're going to get some 7 o'clock Raws. I don't doubt that at all, that we'll get some 7 o'clock. All I'm saying is we're 3 weeks away. We're 3 weeks away from professional football being back. We're two and a half weeks away from college football being back. And clearly they were worried about it last year, so I don't see a difference in them being worried about it this year. They're going to be a little bit worried about it if they just want to get the edge up. And yeah, you're going to need some people in that first hour, and Roman won't be there every week. You know, there's going to be the break between one of these pay-per-views and Survivor Series, where you're not going to see a lot of Roman Reigns. And then after Survivor Series, headed to the Royal Rumble, I don't think we're going to see Roman Reigns at all. So you either move the title off of Roman Reigns, or you have to figure out what your top program is going to be without the world title in the picture. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they move a name from the SmackDown side. Maybe not someone who's been there most recently. I could always see a Drew McIntyre going back there.
Drew would be my first choice, yeah.
But at the same time, is Drew enough?
No, it really isn't. I mean, that show's gonna die a death.
We like it.
Up against, oh yeah,
I love Drew. Drew McIntyre for 2 years straight carried WWE TV.
Yeah, but if you do Drew versus Bloodline ad nauseum again, it becomes the same thing over again, where the Bloodline keeps screwing Drew, and Drew comes out and goes, "I was screwed." It's like everybody's line now. It's LA Knight's line. It's yeah.
Yeah, and the Drew McIntyre, the time where you could have done Drew McIntyre keeping with the Bloodline has kind of ended. There was a period there where he was telling everyone, "I was right the whole time. You guys are all going back to Roman Reigns. You guys are all pussyfooting around the truth that, you know, I was right for 2 years about the Bloodline. You guys are all taking him back. Sami Zayn took him back. Jey Uso took him back." Like, a lot of these guys are taking him back, and Drew McIntyre stayed steadfast. But there was a period there where you could have done him and Roman again because of that angle. But not after a 2 year break. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Right. No, that time's passed.
I think the time has passed on that one. You can't do Sami Zayn going back there too, because he went back there and then he didn't go back there. And now Sami Zayn is a bad guy complaining about how Kevin Owens took a spot, and you got CM Punk Kevin Owens kind of in the program, but not really.
Can we hotshot Oba? Because I know they want to wait for Mania to crown him and coronate, but...
Which is weird in itself, because, like, I get a lot of rumors of, yeah, we're going to wait for Oba and Roman in Saudi Arabia. But then you see all the rumors of, okay, if The Rock's ever going to wrestle again, it's got to probably be this year, and it's got to be in Saudi Arabia. So are they really going to do Oba Femi? And you know what? You don't have to wait till WrestleMania anymore, because guess what, guys? Guess what? WrestleMania ain't going to be your most watched show next year. Just no, ain't.
It's going to be Rumble again.
Yeah. The WrestleMania at 1 or 2 p.m. on a Saturday in April ain't going to be your most watched show, at least not live. Now, I think people are going to check out WrestleMania. Like, a lot of people are going to check out WrestleMania. I get it. But the most intriguing show and the most buzzworthy show is not going to be the Saudi Arabia WrestleMania. Just not. The same way that it probably wouldn't be the most buzzworthy show if it were in China or Germany or, you know, anywhere but London Wembley, probably. Like, it's just not going to be your most buzzworthy. It wouldn't be the most buzzworthy show if it were in Mexico City. It wouldn't be the most buzzworthy show if it were in Manitoba, right? It's not just a Saudi Arabia thing. It's like this show's kind of got to happen in the big cities, the really big cities in Canada or the United States or yes. London.
Yes.
And happening at 2 o'clock on a weekday overseas, I mean, people might be having, but you're not going to have, I mean, I know they're trying to do these watch parties in New York and I think they will get some traction, but it's not like people are going to travel from Cedar Rapids, Iowa to go to New York during a WrestleMania watch party.
Right. It's not going to be a destination to go watch it on a screen when you can watch it on a screen at home.
The Royal Rumble will be, or maybe even SummerSlam in the summer, but it's not going to be WrestleMania.
Right. No, you're exactly right. God, if I were them, I wouldn't even do a 2-night WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia. I would do it one day, but
I think they're kind of committed, right?
Yeah, they are.
They're kind of committed. And you want to see a 5-match WrestleMania. I think we'll probably get 2 5-match shows because they're going to want the least amount of workers. It won't be an event where you bring everybody in. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the event where we're bringing everyone in. We're bringing the legends in. You ain't doing that for WrestleMania this year. So do you really want to do Obafemi on that show?
You do because it's, well, I mean, they do because they think that's our crown jewel. That's a bad
then
pun,
do it on Crown Jewel.
No, you know what I mean, but that's our big event and this is going to be the big highlight of the year. And this is where we tell you, this is the new star right now. And I'm just like, you're not going to be able to keep this bloodline story as is going
out of this ring
through WrestleMania and having then Oba run through the bloodline from Rumble to Mania to get to Mania and keep it hot and interesting. It's
nine months away.
It's already dying in some ways.
It's 9 months away.
And they're bringing up Zilliffa too, debuted on NXT. I'm sure he'll be brought up pretty quickly too.
Just think about what we were watching on WWE TV 9 months ago, right? It's like, it's 9 months away.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time. There's not as many pay-per-views in between now. And you always have Money in the Bank too. I mean, you have, you're going to have a Money in the Bank winner who has a briefcase. So you got to slot that involved. Like is there going to be a Money in the Bank winner who potentially becomes the champion? So like, it may not be CM Punk. It may not be Roman Reigns. Like there might be a lot of stuff going on here in the future. There's a lot of time. I just wouldn't be banking if I were them on Obafemi versus Roman Reigns is my WrestleMania main event. If they are though, great. They have plenty of time to build up for it, but yeah, Roman Reigns has to stay as strong as possible and hovering around Solo Sikoa and LA Knight and maybe Jacob Fatu again may not exactly keep Roman Reigns at that level.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you have 6 guys on SmackDown. You could probably slot into it and make it a lot more interesting, and they're all together now. So, yeah.
I mean, remember how Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns was with Paul Heyman, and the Bloodline story got really hot. But at the same time, I mean, he was working with Brock Lesnar. He was working with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
He was working with The Undertaker. He was working with a lot of big-ass names to get him to that level as well. So there's
well, not just that, but it was the Sammy story that ultimately saved the Bloodline story from becoming boring and monotonous every week.
True. Yeah.
I was just watching that clip again where it was Jay and Sammy bickering, you know, the not feeling Usy promo, which is Usy just enough. Yeah, but I mean it was everybody getting invested in the Sammy getting abused by the Bloodline story and eventually turning on Roman. That made that story hot again with Heyman and everybody involved. It gotten stale like the NWO.
WWE's YouTube today was doing a Roman Reigns PLE domination type of playlist where it's just their live stream is just showing Roman Reigns ever since he joined up with Paul Heyman. Just his PLE dominance, like all the matches that he was defending his world title on for what was it, 2 years or whatever. So they were showing a lot of that. And I happened to get on it. So I was watching Dan Le Batard and then that ended. And I didn't have a lot of time, so I didn't actually get to see the end of it, but they had just started showing the WrestleMania, the first Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match from WrestleMania. And it just took me back. It took me back to a time. I'm like, we're still doing the Bloodline in a way. But man, that had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's rise. That had the Usos being literally, you can point to that year and a half where the tag team division was as important as anything in WWE because it was the Usos and it was the Bloodline. So you had that main event, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and just every near fall was crazy because everyone thought Cody Rhodes would win and was hoping Cody Rhodes would win. And then it was a shock, obviously, when he didn't. I'm like, take me back to that. Like I've been hoping all these big match main events would have that kind of feel for it. And outside of Sami Zayn in Toronto, in Montreal, outside of kind of WrestleMania with CM Punk and Roman Reigns, like they really haven't had that lately as much as they did for that year and a half of the Bloodline storyline. And it's like, we have really big names in WWE right now. We probably have the biggest name this year because you can still count AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar. This year has one of the biggest superstar name rosters in all of WWE history, but we just haven't been able to recapture the magic of a few years ago of the big main events, especially the ones with Roman Reigns in there. And now you're going to put PLE main events out there that might be Roman Reigns versus Solo. And I think you might be able to capture it with LA Knight and Roman, but not if you keep doing just LA Knight complaining backstage.
Right. Oh, they're cheating. They're cheating. You're cheating. I need friends. And it's going to be all the friends that they've already beat up. Whereas, and they're afraid to do this, I think. They're afraid to put something new in there because it might overshadow the Bloodline then. Like, the guy I would take right now, because I think Drew's busy, Gunther's not doing anything. Gunther going through the Bloodline would be exciting.
I think, right? I think Gunther at this point kind of is primed. You probably should have started it with more of a positive reaction with the Nick, all this type stuff, like him shaking his hand at being introduced into the four-way match at SummerSlam wasn't enough. Like you could have actually had a big Gunther face turn. And then he's like, now I'm on SmackDown, where CM Punk has just won the world title and he has a number one contender. Well, I need the title to chase and I'm not a number one contender. So you either give me the number one contendership or I'm going to go to Raw and I'm going to win the number one contendership and then have him go through the entire Bloodline, but not like this solo thing, not like Jacob Fatu kind of did. It's like, he doesn't have to announce that he's going for Roman Reigns. He can just go to Raw and beat up all the Bloodline and like, and be a babyface saying, Roman, I took out your family. What are you going to do?
That's the funny part is LA Knight has the promos, but they've never let him win enough where he can be the Stone Cold that they want him to be against the Bloodline. That's what, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the Chris Van Vliet interviews with LA Knight or any of them for that matter, but the one with LA Knight's really fun for the fact that it's clear, okay? Like people always say, why aren't you, oh, you missed the boat on LA Knight. You're missing the push. Like this guy will flat out go out in an interview and say that, like, I don't have that much time left. Like I'm already 40. I'm not going to be wrestling when I'm 50. And if I'm, and he's talking about like how he thought he was out of a job one time looking for my next maneuver or my next move. Like maybe WWE and LA Knight are mutually like, yeah, we're going to make you an important part of the show. But if we put you at the top of the top and have you beat Roman, like, do we think in 3 years that we're going to benefit from putting you at the top of the top? Right? Because you might be gone. You might be gone on your own accord. Not because we pushed you out or didn't want to use you, that you might just be done wrestling.
Yeah. But at the same time, they'll go, oh, you're too young. We can't push you just yet. You're not ready. I mean, they're paralyzed by overanalysis in everything.
Sometimes it works out by pushing a guy too young. If they're going to be great and they're going to be the future, the actual future of your show, you can push them, but you have to sustain it. You can't be Bron Breakker where we're going to make you a main eventer, but now we have too many main eventers, so we got to push you back down.
He would be the guy right now if they had gone full on push, probably.
He would absolutely he'd be that guy people would be calling to be like Roman Reigns versus Bron Breakker as a babyface.
Yeah, and they would have already probably turned him babyface. That's where I was going because, you know, he was on such a heater.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys who have had really great moments. And And again, I still know, okay, and you know, there's only a few people that can be at the tippity top, because you can't just have everyone being in the main event picture, and then it gets all clustered, and then that's AEW, where everyone is saying they're the real world champion, okay? So you can't do that quite yet, but it's going to be weird, especially because, yeah, Penta's going to suffer a little bit from this. Penta's going to be built up for the next month, going to Mexico City, have the really big, crazy match with Roman Reigns, going to lose, and then not be invited back to the world title picture for at least a year.
Right. No, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to screw him in Mexico City because there's going to be bloodline shenanigans so he can get into the war games that they're eventually going to do.
Yeah, because we're coming closer to that war games, and the Vision not going to be involved in this. That seems pretty clear at this point.
It's going to be Bloodline versus LA Knight Vision, friends.
I feel like the Vision would have been included if they didn't have all the injury history. I really do feel like that could have been something they were working towards. But yeah, now you have this reestablished Bloodline Survivor Series war games where you goddamn, I don't know who it'll be yet, whether it's Jacob, whether it's Solo. We'll see how they build this up. But one of them's going to fuck Roman Reigns. And that's going to be your program going into the Royal Rumble, or going into December, going into maybe the first Raw of the year, because there is a lot of time in December and January where there's not going to be a PLE. I think Royal Rumble's in February, right? Like it's being pushed to February, I believe.
Is it?
In Arizona.
Oh, yeah, to avoid the playoffs? Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be in February. There's going to be a lot of time there in the middle of winter where you may not have Roman, you may not have a top storyline there, and you're going to be building up the babyface run of either Jacob Fatu or Solo Sikoa. I think you're absolutely right where Gunther could have slotted in perfectly, especially after kind of the feel good of Nick Aldis. The feel good of Nick Aldis didn't have to just build up Nick Aldis. The feel good of Nick Aldis could have built up Gunther right back to that program instead of just being okay. And you mentioned how he doesn't really have anything going on. Gunther seemingly has not had anything going on since he lost the world title, right? He hasn't, but he still manages to be an important part of the show because it's Gunther and he's great.
Yes. Because he chops the hell out of people. He has legitimacy. And you know what? Everybody thinks, it doesn't matter if he's a babyface or a heel. People are going to cheer him because he's an ass kicker.
He turned angry promos with the SmackDown GM into one of the main events of SummerSlam. Because if you listen to the timeline and you believe Nick Aldis and all the other people talking about the timeline, they were doing those backstage segments and they were doing the angst against each other for much longer than they said, you know what, Nick Aldis, we're giving you a match at SummerSlam. Like Gunther turned that into something, because there's been a bunch of other guys who have had, you know, backstage blowups with Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis. And it's not like they're getting the match with the GM. Now, granted, Gunther, again, didn't have anything going on. You're not going to give Roman Reigns Adam Pearce, but like, still, Gunther turned backstage angry promos against nobody, effectively the wall, okay, into a match with fucking Nick Aldis, and he could have gotten the rub of the feel good a little bit more than what they're doing.
After getting screwed out of being able to retire Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
he still has a favor from Paul Heyman left.
Does he though?
I don't know. It's a dropped story.
I feel like he got the favor. I feel like the favor was him moving to SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And granted, I don't remember shit, but I feel like I remember him moving to SmackDown was one of those favors, because again, he was kind of stuck in the picture on Raw too. So yeah, you got Gunther over there on SmackDown. You got all the big names, Randy Orton back. There's still a lot to do with him and Cody Rhodes. There's a lot to do. CM Punk's got so much meat on the bone with guys on Raw and now still on SmackDown, because he hasn't done much of anything with a Sami Zayn outside of winning the title. Hasn't done much of anything with Cody Rhodes. And, you know, I kind of hate that they did that match at SummerSlam, honestly, with Cody Rhodes, because I thought that could have been something that was much further down the line. But okay, they've done it. Great. They've done it. There's a lot you can do in WWE. I just think, you know, it sounds like the two of us are a little disappointed in what they've decided to do right now.
Yeah.
At least on the Raw side.
Yeah. I mean, on the Raw side, especially, there's an abundance of riches, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, because nobody's going to boo Kevin Owens at this point. Punk is such a natural asshole that might actually turn him anyways.
Well, they're both kind of assholes.
Yes, they are.
It's a very interesting, and Randy Orton, another asshole. You got a triad of assholes. Sami Zayn, kind of an asshole. You got a whole bunch of assholes on the old SmackDown side. Thankfully, two of the assholes are good guys.
Yes. Well, we have that problem in AEW too.
Before we get to AEW, what do you make of, I want to get your thoughts on Bayley causing a little bit of a stir. Because I think I know what she's doing, but Bayley on social media has been going super heavy on some AEW references and just leaving WWE type references. What do you make and what do you think Bayley is doing right now on her social media as people question, okay, is she done with WWE?
She's playing it up for all it's worth. That's what she's doing. I mean, it's not, to me, it's not that hard. And both her and Mercedes do this all the time. They love doing this.
Because Bayley's another asshole. And she's fucking around with people because people don't know what she's doing. And she's, Mercedes Moné's best friend. Guess what? Mercedes? Kind of an asshole. So she's playing up what people are talking about and just dicking around. You got reports that AEW is confused, doesn't know what they're doing. Like, don't be. WWE is confused, doesn't know what they're doing. It's not landing right with them. It's like, she's just fucking around.
Yeah, and she's allowed to because she hasn't signed a deal yet and she hasn't found one that she's liked yet. I think she goes back to WWE because I think she's going to eventually be taking over NXT training down there. But
you say go back to WWE. She hasn't left WWE.
She hasn't left. I mean, they consider her gone because she hasn't re-signed yet. So that's what I mean. But you are correct in that. I have a crazy, wacky, off-the-wall theory that All In is Mercedes' last match in AEW.
Ooh.
And that because 90 days after All In is Survivor Series. And that they'll appear together. But I don't have any faith in that pick. It's just an off-the-wall theory I have. But I think Bayley eventually ends up back in WWE. I think she likes the WWE system. I don't think she's in it for bangers necessarily. And given how AEW treats its women's division, she'd have a banger and then she'd have to wait 6 months for another program. I just don't see her going over there, to be honest with you.
I think if I'm Bayley, I'm seeing one, the money that people are getting on the other side. I'm seeing that I probably have to only show up on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And like, if she has her choice, maybe she's going there.
Cause the money would be important because of this Lodestone project that she does with all the female wrestlers and stuff. It would help underwrite that, but she's also done it in partnership with WWE, which
I don't think she's leaving WWE myself. I'm just saying the reasons why she could go. I mean, she can go anywhere. She can maybe not wrestle. I mean, she's been in WWE on the main roster for 10 plus years.
Yes.
And in very important programs and very important spots as well. So she's probably made quite a bit of money. She can go do whatever she wants at this point. I mean, she can wrestle in Japan. She can wrestle here. She can wrestle anywhere. If she was going to go to AEW, clearly, it's because of the money and the schedule, right? It's also maybe to be with,
Mercedes. A friend. It's her friend, Mercedes. Yeah.
It have the really big match, okay? And I think she could always go back to WWE later on if she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the door closes. But if she stays in WWE, there's a little bit of that factor that I don't think people fully realize sometimes because you do have names who leave and had the same dream. But like Bayley's one of those who was like, my dream was to be in WWE. It wasn't to be a professional wrestler. It was to be in WWE. And it's like, yeah, she's been there. She's done that. Maybe things change. Your taste as an adult change from when you're, younger. But some of them, it's like, Seth Rollins is that guy whose dream was to be in WWE. And he still has that dream. His dream is to be in WWE because it's a guy who could have made a ton of money elsewhere too. And I think that might be a little bit of her. And she's just playing around. The fact that she made so many AEW references, to me, tells me she's not going there.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. I think it just depends for me. because it's interesting. You can say something to yourself, and then once you're in the situation, you realize you were either right or wrong. And in this one, it's, would I be happy re-signing and being the mentor to all the girls who looked up to me in that kind of mid-card morass of like Lyra and Roxanne and whoever they bring up from NXT to introduce to themselves and having matches with them and making them look good? Or do I still want the one thing that they never gave me, which was to quote unquote main event a Mania? Because Becky got to do it. Charlotte got to do it. Sasha kind of got to do it. You know, it's one of those things. How competitive are you with your slot vis-a-vis your peers who came up with you at the same time? And I don't know her. I don't know anything about her mindset on that.
Sasha kind of got to do it. She got to do it.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we're considering that a main event slot.
Being the main event of WrestleMania on one night?
Was she? I mean, are we considering her and Bianca that?
I thought she main evented. Hold on. Now we got to go back to the 2021 WrestleMania, I believe it was. Because it was the first Mania with people back, right? The first kind of big event with people back was 2021. I thought she main evented night one. God, this Wikipedia, man, have to scroll through 18 paragraphs of saying this particular match was two storylines combined and written by W blah, 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 blah. Like before I just want to see.
I mean, you're probably right. You're probably correct. I'm just,
Bianca versus Sasha was the main event of night one, WrestleMania 2021. Following the esteemed match of Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus Miz and Morrison.
Yes.
Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. AJ Styles and Omos, remember when they were teaming?
Yes.
Against The New Day, Austin Creed and Kofi. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Natalya and Tamina beating Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott in a tag team turmoil.
Why not?
And then Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. I just went through because I was like, this is a time capsule in itself, and this was not that long ago. This was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks in the main event of WrestleMania. So, of course, their main event. They main evented at WrestleMania. The next night was Roman Reigns versus Edge and Daniel Bryan. I may have to go back and watch this 2021 WrestleMania because, my golly, that was a time capsule.
Was that the ending where Roman stacked both of them and pinned them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Was it a stack and a pin, or did he have? Yeah, it was a stack and a pin.
And a pin. I remember that.
Daniel Bryan had the crossface on both of them at the same time, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And then there was a stack and a pin. Well, why not? Edge wasn't long in the cards for WWE, and Daniel Bryan, you never knew when he was going to go. And Roman Reigns was your guy. This is still kind of the start of the Roman Reigns bloodline push. Is April of 2021. So yeah. Kevin Owens defeated Sami Zayn in a singles match.
Yes.
Sami Zayn coming to the ring with Logan Paul. What a time.
Really?
What a time. What a time in WWE. It's just a time. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler beat Natalya and Tamina. Oh my gosh. What a time 2021 was. And then of course Randy Orton defeated The Fiend. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Interesting time. I think you can go into every single one of these matches, every single one, and see a name in that match that is no longer in WWE.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that is, I think, well, it's outside of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, they're still here, but if we would have done the show 2 weeks ago, Kevin Owens would have been gone for a year and a half. But you had some thoughts on AEW. They continued MJF claiming to be the real world champion, not just the real world champion, but the one true champion. I don't know if you know what that acronym is, but it's OTC, Jeff Hawkins. What do you make of AEW Dynamite heading into their biggest show of the year, seemingly not focusing on their biggest show of the year?
It's amazing that we decided to add the Don Callis family into this feud that doesn't need anybody in it 18 days before Wembley. And not just that. Okay, so that opening promo segment, we have Will Ospreay being just unfocused and a downer talking about his dead grandfather. Kenny comes out and he's a jerk after saving Will. Will says, I don't need your help when people are yelling to break his neck. So he's being petty and not cool. Then you get heel Swerve Strickland, the return of him, where Nana sends Tony on his way and does a baby face pop with whose house. And then a heel Ricochet comes in and heels on heel Strickland to come away, to leave. And then for your main event, heel Death Rider John Moxley, overcoming the odds of the scrappy Jungle Boy, who was knocked out at one point and came back to fight back and just get submitted. I'm just amazed that they continue this New Japan style. Hey, people are just in it for themselves and they're a part of their faction, but the good guy, bad guy delineation is just absolutely screwed in everything. And everybody just gives the excuse, well, it'll be a good match. Or Dave Meltzer last night on that Will promo, which was bad, going, oh, it was the audience that sucked. I was like, no, it was Will that was bad on that promo. If he had come out and been an ass kicker instead of talking about his dead grandfather for sympathy, that crowd would have ate it up alive. But he didn't.
Like, wow. And granted, you have a storyline where Kenny Omega's never been considered the best talker. Will Ospreay has been good, but then other times he's not great. You know, just because he's a little bit, I don't even know how to describe Will Ospreay talking. It's like you believe,
rambly.
You know, it's true, but every once in a while you just kind of want a little less sincerity, if that's possible, and a little bit more focus.
That and knowing your audience. That's the other thing. He comes out, who's lost some money tonight? Those are all Las Vegas locals. Nobody's flying in for this show. What are you doing?
No. These are the people who only go to that one show a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to everything, and they're probably not. Where was AEW in Las Vegas? Was it on the Strip?
At the Palm.
Okay. So close, right? Palm's one where it's not on the Strip, but it's like two blocks over or something like that.
I believe that's correct.
So it's still close enough. You still have to go to Paradise. You can't, yes. It's not Vegas proper and it's not right outside of it. Still got to get there. But yeah, they're not going into the Strip. They're not staying at the hotels. You got to know the audience a little bit. Now, granted, most of the time you're playing for TV anyway. So if people think Las Vegas and they think it's a bunch of gamblers and you're in the gambling town, so why not? But man, I tell you, like they need a little bit of direction and focus. They got to keep Tony Khan in line and focused and directed, because I feel like, yeah, there's some big matches being built up for All In, but it's like, you can't let All In become the show that just gets you through to All Out, which is going to be in Chicago. And obviously they're going to try to stack that as much as possible going up against the AAA show that looks like CM Punk is going to be participating in some form or fashion. We still wonder if maybe Roman Reigns will be involved in some form or fashion. Do you think there's any possibility that they give Penta the title in Mexico City just to defend it in Chicago against Roman?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Because that audience in Chicago is going to be hot for Penta. So yeah, I do.
They're going to be Mexico City, obviously going to be hot. And then you do the return and then you can use that as the catalyst for some type of fuckery with Solo Sikoa or Jacob Fatu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really think they were going to do that. Like up until
I didn't think about either right until you just said it. And I went, that's a great idea. Yeah. They should do that.
Because you don't really need to build up like a streak. Like Roman Reigns isn't going to be a 2-year champion again. And it's just not, he did the long reign. You don't have to do that again. So you can do some belt, menacing there again. Yeah, I just don't know. Hey, what do you think about Caroline Levitt going to NXT?
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Mari Gold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Glate, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.